prepare for Shabbos Shira, Shabbos Parshas Shalach, a parsha which has many major incidents in it. I'd like to speak, time permitting, a bit about each of the three main seminal events of the parsha: the splitting of the Yam Suf, the Mon, and Melchemes Amalek. Let me begin regarding Kriyas Yam Suf. There's a parsha that has always disturbed me. We make a big fuss over Kriyas Yam Suf, an extraordinary miracle. Yet, we find in the Gemara, the beginning of the first parak of Cholin, that a Tana was able to split the waters in order to cross. Pinchas Ben Yair, the Gemara says, was Chilek Nahar Ginoi. When he had to cross the river, he was able to cause it to split so that he would cross. Now, of course, Pinchas Ben Yair was a great person, one of the greatest Tanoim. Still, the majesty, the event of splitting Yam Suf is presented here in the Torah, and is part of our davening, is a major event in the history of Klal Yisrael, is something that's so extraordinary. And yet we find that a Tana, someone many generations later, was able to do the same miracle. Haloi Tavaru, something which needs some sort of an explanation. When the Navishe began many years ago, one of the first events that we learned in the beginning of Shmuel Aleph was the taking of the Plishtim, of the Aron, by the Plishtim in battle. The Plishtim captured the Aron Hashem, which had been taken into battle by Klal Yisrael. That Aron was later returned because of different tragedies that befell the Plishtim in every place that the Aron was kept. The Aron was returned by being put on a wagon, and cows were attached to the wagon and left to walk wherever they desire, and they went straight back to Beth Shemesh, the city of Klal Yisrael. Chazal teach us about Tisharna HaParais, that these parais, these cows, miraculously sang Shira as they came back to Beth Shemesh. The question we asked then was a very similar question to the question I'm asking today. The Torah makes such a big deal over the speaking of the of Bilam's donkey. Kidei Kach is considered such an extraordinary miracle that the Mishnah always says that the mouth of the Osain was created by Nashmosh. The idea that an animal could speak is considered to be so extraordinary, and it's presented that way regarding Bilam. And yet here we find that cows sang. At that time we found in one of the Rishonim, I think it was a Chiddushei HaRavid on Makis, who said that the ikar of a miracle, the main point of a miracle, is the first time it happens. That such a thing could happen in the world. The fact that it repeats, not as miraculous, because all of nature isn't a miracle that repeats itself. Every time it rains, water coming down from heaven is a miracle. But nature is a miracle that repeats itself. And although an animal speaking will forever be considered a miracle, still, the first time it happens, that's something that has a special level of miracle. Now, I have found that this site is brought by Reb Shimon Seifer printed the original printing of the Chum Seifer's Tiras Moshe, the great Torah on the Chumash. And anywhere in the Tiras Moshe that you have a paragraph with an asterisk, at the beginning of the paragraph, that asterisk denotes that that paragraph is the Chiddush of Reb Shimon Seifer. Reb Shimon Seifer, on the Pasuk Shalachti Es Yadi, discusses that this Yisrael on his own. He says, Kol davar shenichtach kevar, anything that already happened before, by Makar HaNisim, that's a source of miracles that repeated themselves. Ve'ene kol kach kosha achakach v'shadei b'dava zeha ma'aracha. Then it's not as extraordinary when it repeats itself. And with that he explains, here by Kriyas Yam Suf, the fact that Kriyas Yam Suf is such an extraordinary miracle, and yet we find that the miracle would repeat itself later by Pinchas Ben Yair. So this is died, that he says. I would add that based on this, we can understand that the first time the Mon fell, it was an extraordinary miracle. Not so, when it repeated itself, and it became nature to the people who grew up in the Midbar. That would explain why the first Mon was put away, was hidden L'dayreis. Because the first Haman was the man of extraordinary, miraculous power. And therefore, that was his. If you look in the Sefer, he explains what this is our Torah regarding Purim as well. But Purim is still far away, so we'll leave it with this, a beautiful and basic. So much for Avart on the Shira. Let us move now to the Mon. The word Mon, the name of the Mon, is a strange name. Kimonu, the people said. The Rashbam explains, Mon b'loshen Mitzrayim, ma b'loshen HaKadosh. That Mon, in the language of the Egyptians, is the same as the word ma in Hebrew. Ma. What is this? The Torah Kosvashim Shekarov in Israel. The Torah gave the name Mon because the Jews called it Mon. That's strange. Why refer to the Mon with a name which has no intrinsic meaning, no meaning on its own? Mon, what is this? And you give it a name, Mon. Very strange. The answer, let me share with you an idea in the Sichas Musar, Atav Shemam and Gimel, the sixth Sicha. There's a pasuk in Yecheskel, Perek Mevav, pasuk Tes, which teaches us that in the Beis Hamikdash, it was a rule. The rule was, Habod derashan tzavayim leishtachavayis, yeitzei derashan neged. If someone entered the Beis Hamikdash, one, any one of the many the gates, he was not permitted to leap through that gate. Yeitzei derashan neged, he would go out on a different, at a different gate. Lo yoshuv derech hashar asher barsham, kinechay yeitzei. He would have to go out through a different gate. This was a rule in the Beis Hamikdash. This is in the Haftarah of Parshat Bechodesh. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz explains that when someone entered the Beis Hamikdash, he would feel the awe of the place. It would be a tremendous feeling that overcame him, a sense of shina, a sense of holiness, a sense of majesty of the place that he entered. It's important that that sense should not disappear, that that initial sense should not go away. Although a human being is a human being, we get used to anything. And even if someone's in an awesome situation, in an awesome setting, eventually he's there long enough and it loses its very special sense. The symbolism of not going out through the gate in which you entered in the Beis Hamikdash was symbolic of the fact that we should not undo that which happened when we entered. We entered the Beis Hamikdash, and the individual who entered felt overcome by awe. Don't walk out that entrance. And the words of Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, Harbe Harbe Yesh La'amoyo L'shmor Al Ra'an Nusa Shel Yis'ayrus Shetishor Atamid Dimidasa Harisha. A person has to work on maintaining his first Yis'ayrus, his inspiration, the feeling that a person has. And to see him as Shas, someone is moved to learn Shas, he's got to keep that original inspiration and not be able to keep it going. Many, many people lose it. But keeping that inspiration is a very important step in Avodas Hashem. You can take that idea that Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz says and explain with that the Mon, the naming of the Mon, the word Mon. When the Mon fell, people were amazed. Mon, what is this? Food coming down from heaven? Food which has this unbelievable property of being able to have any taste a person desires. It's incredible. Of course, there's time. One gets used to anything. The Zitar HaMidbar, the morn falling every day, was the same as water which falls from heaven in the form of rain. Something we don't see as a miracle, we think is ordinary. In order to keep that historius, they named it Mon. To remind themselves of the original amazement, the awe, the fact that it was such an incredible miracle. To keep that historius, the name Mon remained. And of course, the message was a message to us. To try to keep historius a feeling, an inspiration that we get sometimes when something happens in our lives, or sometimes when we are inspired by another individual. To try to keep it, to watch it. That's some sort of a reminder, whether in a name or in an object, to remind us of our original Hesiris. her instead Palti ben Laish. Now naturally Palti knew that this woman is an Eshes Tish, she's not permitted to touch her. Shaul, the king, insisted that they're married. He could not publicly show that he's not married, so they lived in the same home, and they had a bedroom. But Gemara says he stuck a sword between the two beds. He said, if I touch her, I deserve to be destroyed by the sword. Chaim Shaul ever say, what's the purpose of the sword? The day he pulled out the sword, it meant something. But he left it there between their two beds for a couple of years. What does that do? The answer? The same idea. He had it in his Cyrus. He wanted to concretize it on something. He put it into that sword, and that sword was a reminder of his original Cyrus. Do it. You have an Cyrus or something? Do it. Make it happen. So that's Avarat on the Mon. Finally, a thought regarding Melchemes Amalek. Hashem Yorim Moshe Yadai V'Gavar Yisrael. Moshe stretching his arms out heavenwards caused the Gevurah, Klal Yisrael, to be able to win in battle. And as the Gemara explains, Rosh Hashanah, that was related to B'nai Yisrael, Mistaklum Kapi Maila, Klal Yisrael looking heavenwards. What is the remez in the stretching out of these hands? We find G'dayla Yisrael, who davened that way. They davened, as Shlomo HaMelech did, by stretching arms out towards heaven. And here in Amalek, it's especially important, because Rashi says that Amalek came, if they should rafu yedehim in Atayra. Rashi uses the same idea, the symbolism of hands, rafu yedehim in Atayra, the hands will weaken in the Torah study, or in the Torah observance, and therefore Amalek came. What is the symbol of these, of this remez of Yodayim? I had once seen, I don't remember the name of the sefer, someone who quoted from the Chidushei Harim, Parshat Re'eh. Not in regard to Amalek, but in regard to Bikurim. Bikurim is the gift brought to the Beis HaMikdash of one's first fruits. The passing of Parshas Re'eh refers to it as Trumas Yadchem, the gift of your hands. And there too, the question is, why mention the hands? V'laka ha'kayin atena miyodecha. When the Bikurim are brought to the Beis HaMikdash, the language is, the kayin take the basket from your hand. Why mention the hand? Anything brought to the Beis HaMikdash, even with the hand. But Chidushim said that mentioning the hand is to be to show that a person has to understand that whatever he does with his hands comes from God, not from him. The opposite of the sense of kishiva, it's in yadi, the sense that a person's own ability is what causes success. On the contrary, it comes from God. And the first fruits of a farmer's work is brought to the Beis HaMikdash as Trumas Yadchem, as an expression of the fact that it comes from the Rabbeinu Shlomo. And when one stretches out his hands towards heaven in davening, he's saying symbolically that my hands, the work of my hands, all comes to you, Rabbeinu Shlomo. My prayer is that my hands be successful. David HaMelech says, stretch your hands out in holiness when you bless God. Show that your hands, whatever they do, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We find also that Rebbe, before his death, stretched out stuck out his fingers towards heaven. That idea, that the hand represents that, is an idea of stretching out your hands towards heaven and saying, the kayach of my hands comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shevet Levi had no portion in Eretz Yisrael. They understood that everything they received came from God. And when the Kayin accepts the basket from the Yisrael, Rashi says, the basket of Bikurim is brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Kayin in Niach Yadei Tachas Yad Bailam. The Yisrael, the farmer, would be holding his hands under the basket. The Kayin would put his hands under the hands of the Yisrael, who made it and lifted heavenwards. What a beautiful expression. Showing the Kayin's hands, which are hands that understand there's no Kayshivites in Yadi, that all comes from God. He lifts up the Yisrael's hands with his towards heaven. And that's the expression of lifting one's hands heavenwards, Kashi Yorim Moshe Yadai V'Gavi Yisrael. When Jews understand that everything depends on the blessings of heaven, then the Gavi Yisrael, then Klal Yisrael has strength, and Klal Yisrael is successful. So these are three thoughts on the parasha. This morning, during Kriyas HaTorah, I had a quick question. I don't have a quick answer. followed the Zohanon, the heavenly clouds that led them in the Midbar. As a matter of fact, the Pasuk says that those clouds never disappeared. Those clouds were always there. And it always led Klal Yisrael wherever they went. Lo Yomish, the Pasuk says. It would never disappear from Lo Yomish Amud Ha'anon Yayimam Amud Ha'ish Laila Lefnei Ha'am. It led them wherever they went. The next Pasuk, Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe Leimar. The next Pasuk. Daber Ovede Yisrael V'yishub V'yachnos V'yach Nireis V'yamigdol V'yam Hayav. God gives Moshe direction. Tell Yisrael to travel in this place and that place, in front of the Achirais, between Migdol, between the Yam, let's be about to find, Nichlai Zachna, that's where you should rest. Why do you give direction? For what reason? Why give direction? And we're following the Anan. Rabbi Nishalaylam, just let the Anan go. Don't give me directions. Imagine you're a passenger in the back of the car. The driver is driving. He's not giving you directions, it's the way you're going. He's driving, why is he giving you directions?